Bhakti yoga bahu vidhau maya gaya bhamini bhavyate subhava guna maraghena pungsan bhavo vidhijyate. Lord Kapila, the personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Abhishandhaya yo hinsam dhambha matsaryam evava samrambhi binadrib bhavam mai kuryasatamasaha. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Vishayan abhisandhaya yashi yasha aishwaryam eva va archadav archayed yomam ritag bhava sarajasaha. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. Karma nirharam udhishya parasmin va tad arpanam yajed yastavyam iti va pritag bhava sashatvikaha. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive actions, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Madguna sruti matrena mai sarva guhashayae mano gatir avichchana yatha gangamba sombhudo lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya shudhaditam ahaitiki avyavahita yabhakti purushottame. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down toward the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows toward the Supreme Lord. Tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. In this chapter, Bhagavan, Lord Kapila Dev, is replying to the questions of his beloved and saintly mother, Devahuti. The background of this conversation is most wonderful and enlightening. Devahuti was a princess. She was the daughter of a great king. His name was Svayambhuva Manu. In fact, he was such a great king that he ruled over the entire human race. Svayambhuva Manu was the ideal example of a grihastha living in royalty and opulence who was completely immersed in devotional life. You know, according to the Bhagavatam, there are 12 Mahajans. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. In order to understand Krishna, in truth, we must follow in the footsteps of these great Mahajans. Amongst these Mahajans, We have great, great sannyasis like Sukadev Goswami. We have the great Brahmachari Bhishma Dev. We have the great ascetic Lord Shiva. One of the 12 Mahajans is Svayambhuva Manu, who is a king. It is explained in the Bhagavatam that although he was living in his royal palace, he never considered anything to be his own. He invited all the kingdom to come and share his wealth and opulence with him. In fact, he was so good to the citizens, he considered himself to be the menial servant of even the least significant of the human race. And he would personally serve them. And he was especially very fond of offering hospitality to the sadhus, to the qualified Brahmins and Vaishnavas. He would not make any decision regarding the state or any even domestic affairs without the blessings of the great sadhus. Nothing. It was not even in consideration to make any type of major decision. Even after consulting his ministers and coming to a decision without the blessings of the great saintly persons, nothing would be done. Because he had the realization that unless it pleases Krishna, it is a failure. Even if, by worldly standards, it appears to be a very grandiose project to help so many people, if Krishna is not pleased, it's a failure. And ultimately, it will help no one. He was truly humble and obedient to his guru and the Vaishnavas. It is explained the deity worship in his home was so wonderful. Everyone in the family was engaged in worshiping the deity, the Archavigraha. Some people think that the worship of the deity in the temple is something for neophyte devotees or something that is not on a very highly elevated platform of devotion, of spiritual life. But we find the greatest authorities of Sanatan Dharma, even in the age of Satya Yuga, long, long ago, they centered their whole household, they centered their whole kingdom around the worship of the form of the Lord in the temple. It is described that in the evening he would have great devotees of the Lord chanting the glories of Lord Sri Krishna and his various incarnations in very sweet, melodious voices, and he would fall asleep hearing that. And they would sing all night long. In this way he would have beautiful, purifying dreams of the Supreme Lord. And when he would rise in the morning, he would rise to the chanting of the beautiful hymns and the glorification of the Lord. And then he would do his puja, his bhajan, his sadhana. And then he would offer his obeisances to the Brahmins, the sadhus, the Vaishnavas. Then he would distribute charity to the poor. Then he would begin his day of seva. It was all seva. Svayambhuva Manu had a daughter. Her name was Devahuti. And she was so chaste and so virtuous and so beautiful. In those days, for a young girl, before her marriage, they would be kept within the palace amongst their friends and maidservants, where they would have wonderful, lovely, joyful times but they could not in any way be subject to the exploitation of others. So Devahuti, it is explained, when sometimes she would be playing on the roof of her palace with a ball, her beauty was so charming that even the devatas, the demigods, when they would be flying overhead in their flower airplanes, which they would do at the time of Satyayuga, when they would see her beauty, they would become so captivated that they would fall unconscious onto the ground. She was literally a mine of the most auspicious and godly qualities. She was a pure devotee of the Lord from the core of her heart. Anyways, by the arrangement of the Lord, it was meant that Devahuti was to marry a great rishi of the name Kardama Muni, who was living in the jungle. And he had no money, he had no wealth, he just dressed in tree bark, and he was just doing tapasya. So this Kardama Muni was such a great devotee. He did his tapasya, which was the recommended yuga dharma in Satyayuga, simply with his mind fixed on the beautiful form of Lord Narayan. He was a devotee. He was doing it simply for the pleasure of the Lord. And it is described that the Lord, seeing the intensity of his devotion, Lord Vishnu began to weep, and the tears that shed from his eyes filled a pond which was called Bindu Sarovar. Anyways, the Lord understood that Kardama Muni had a very deep desire to serve him. So he appeared before Kardama Muni, gave him direct personal darshan, and he told him that you will soon marry. You will marry the beautiful daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, Devahuti. And from her womb, I will incarnate into this world. So, you know how marriages are here in India. Usually the first consideration when a man is thinking about his daughter's marriage is, what is his bank account? How much money does he have? What kind of job does he have? Will he support my wife, my daughter, nicely? Will he give her nice jewels and bangles and saris and nice flat and a nice chauffeur-driven car? And will she have nice clothing? And will she have plenty of wonderful, sumptuous foodstuffs? And will she be prestigious for me to say this is my son-in-law during social functions? Huh? This is usually the first consideration, second consideration, third consideration. And somewhere down the line, about the 108th consideration is, does he have devotion to God? Huh? Is he spiritual? Yeah, that's a consideration, but usually not very important. Anyway, Swayambhuva Manu, who was very, very aristocratic, he married this most beautiful and chaste lady, who everyone was seeking her hand in marriage. Even the demigods wanted to marry her. What to speak of other princes and kings? They were all looking toward her with great affection, anticipation. But he married her to Kardama Muni, who was living in the jungle, sleeping on the ground, and just doing tapasya, and had nothing to eat. He didn't have a job. In fact, there's no record that he ever had a job. Huh? And Swayambhuva Manu was so happy,
so joyful that this will please Krishna. He said to Devahuti, you assist your husband in whatever he does. So what did he do? He just did tapasya all day. He would just fast and sit in samadhi in the middle of the jungle, not caring about the rains or the winds or the heat or the insects or the animals. And she would just wait for him to come out of his tapasya. And of course, as a chaste wife, she would not eat before feeding her husband. And sometimes her husband would not eat for months at a time. Anyways, after years and years and years of living in this way, her beautiful, beautiful form became emaciated. Her soft skin became darkened by too much tapasya. Her beautiful hair became matted. But she never complained. She was always at her husband's service. And she was the princess who was meant to be a queen. When Kardama Muni saw her, his heart began to feel very sorry. That look at what she's doing just for me. Such a devotee she is. And he decided to fulfill all of her desires. So he was a great mystic yogi. First he had her take bath in a particular lake where there were celestial damsels who washed her and bathed her with mystical oils, which immediately brought back her youthful luster and her beautiful form. Then they began to comb her hair, and they began to decorate her with perfumes and with beautiful silken garments and jewelry, and then she came out. And then Kardama Muni created a mansion which could fly in the sky. It was beautiful, with all parks and trees and lakes and birds. And the residence was made out of coral and marble and onyx and rubies and jewels and diamonds everywhere. And there was thousands upon thousands of beautiful maid servants. And Kardama Muni traveled in that mansion with his beloved wife Devahuti. And from them, a child was born. And that child was none other than the Supreme Lord himself in his form of Kapila Muni. You see, if you simply become a humble servant of a great devotee, however it may appear difficult at the beginning, in the end, you get the greatest thing. You get Krishna. In fact, because she performed such tapasya, in such a mood of humble service, the Supreme Lord took birth from her womb into her life. And after Kapila Dev grew slightly, Kardama Muni left and said, now you have a son to take care of you. Now I will go into the forest to continue my tapasya. And Devahuti, upon seeing the beautiful, beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, who was her own beloved son, she began to inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. And the response of Lord Kapila Dev is the composition of what is called Sankhya philosophy. This great Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti, explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam so deeply systematic and scientific about the goal of life, about the nature of this material creation, how it was created, why it was created, how it is operating, how time is influencing all that exists.
He categorizes things so completely, so specifically, and so scientifically that he explains the time element from the level of the atom. He explains succinctly how the modes of material nature are working, what are the laws of karma, how they bound the jivatma, how the jivatma comes into this world, how he remains in this world, how he is liberated from this world. He explains even every stage of life, even from the conception in the womb through all the 9 months. Something that even our greatest scientists and medical practitioners have never been able to understand. In these particular verses, he is explaining the different types of devotional service or bhakti. He explains that some people, they execute devotional service in tamaguna, in the mode of ignorance. In this regard, it is explained that anyone who accepts that there is a Supreme Lord, that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that there is a Supreme Person who is God and the controller of everyone, that person is considered to be a Vaishnava. But it is explained that various people with different states of consciousness approach the Lord in different modes of material nature. There are Vaishnavas in the mode of darkness, in the mode of ignorance. And what are their qualities? They are envious, they are proud, they are violent, and they are angry. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if one is a Vaishnava, if he is not of good character, he should be avoided. We should not associate with someone who is proud and envious. It is described that people who are in the tamaguna, tamasa, they perform devotional service sometimes for the purpose of becoming famous, for the purpose of destroying others. They worship God with the motivation to direct their anger and their hatred toward other living beings. They criticize, they blaspheme others in the name of God. Such type of devotees can only degrade our consciousness by associating with them. And then he explains that some people worship the deities with the motive of material enjoyment, fame, and opulence. This is called devotion in the mode of passion. That they want wealth. They want their business to prosper. They want their material ambitions fulfilled. They want good wives or good husbands. This is called devotional service in the mode of passion. And those who worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a desire to free oneself of all offenses and free oneself of all material attachments, to be liberated, that is called devotional service in sattva-guna, or the mode of goodness. But Lord Kapila Dev explains that for a sincere Vaishnava, none of these three are desirable. Shuddha sattva bhakti, pure devotional service, is those who have no motivation, who have no interruption, who simply perform their service for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of his devotees. They expect nothing in return except more service. That is pure devotion, pure bhakti. And that is the ultimate goal of life, according to Lord Kapila Dev. That is the greatest treasure. That is the greatest wealth. After all of the desires that we may fulfill in this world, ultimately, we cannot keep any of them. They have to die with this body or sometime before. The eternal constitutional nature of every soul is to desire purely for service to Krishna. And Lord Kapila Dev explains, Salokya sarasti samipya sarupyai katvam apyuta diyamanam nagrinanti vinamat sevanam jana. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, sarasti, samipya, sarupya, or ekatva. This means, the four types of liberation is to live on the same planet as the Lord, Vaikuntha, to have the same opulences of the Lord, to be a personal associate of the Lord, to have the same bodily features of the Lord, or ekatma, to merge into the oneness of the Lord. Such a pure devotee, even if they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not accept them. When they ask our spiritual master, what is it that you hope to gain by chanting Hare Krishna? He explained, do you know what this mantra means? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It is a prayer of the soul. My dear Lord, please engage me in your loving service. We are not chanting Hare Krishna for our own material desires or even for liberation or even promotion to the spiritual world. We are simply chanting because we want the supreme benediction of the Lord, which is the opportunity to serve, to express our love. What do we hope to get from chanting Hare Krishna? Chanting Hare Krishna. That is the goal. There is a beautiful story in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was a young man in the Grihastha ashram living in Navadvip Dham, one time there was a kirtan and people with impure desires were not allowed to enter. During the day, Lord Chaitanya would allow everyone to join in to become purified. But in the late hours of the night, only he and his very intimate associates would chant the holy names together. So there was one Brahmin. He was a very well-known Brahmin. In fact, he survived by only drinking milk. He would eat nothing else. And he was very pious, and he was very, very learned in the scriptures. But he was not allowed entrance into the house of Srivas Pandit. He was very proud as well. You know, sometimes pious, learned people become very proud that they're so pious and they're so learned. What to speak, he was very proud that everyone else is eating rice and sabjis and I am only drinking milk. For so many years I have only drank milk. Nothing. So he became very angry. So the next day, he met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose name at that time was Vishwambhar, on the banks of the river Ganges.
And he was so angry. He said, "Do you know who I am? I am a learned Brahmin. I am born in a very high caste. And I am also very, very highly learned in the scriptures. And I'm very pious. I've never indulged in any sinful activity. And I am so austere that for so many long years I have not taken any food except the holiest and purest of all foods, the milk of the holy cow. And yet you insulted me by not allowing me in your kirtan last night." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply was, "You cannot achieve pure devotion to God simply by drinking your milk. Where in the Shastra does it say that the qualification for entering into the Leela of the Lord is drinking milk? What is the use of your austerity? Only those who have pure and humble devotion can enter into the Leela of the Lord." So this Brahmin became very, very angry. And he took his sacred thread and he pronounced a curse on all the strength of my brahminical powers. "I curse you to lose all your material opulence." And Lord Chaitanya smiled and with folded palms he said, "Thank you very much. I will accept that as a great blessing." You see, Lord Chaitanya, he knew past, present, and future. For the sake of reclaiming the fallen souls of this world, he would eventually have to take sannyas, the renounced order of life. And because in those days, as a grihastha, many people would not listen to him. The sannyasis, many great scholars and pundits, they would not listen to him. But as one in the sannyas order of life, everyone would offer their obeisances and hear from them. So he took to the renounced order, and he used this as an excuse. "I had no choice. I was cursed by a Brahmin." Even if you are living like Swayambhuva Manu in a big palace, he had no attachment for his wealth. His only attachment was to serving God and utilizing all of it in the service of God. As long as we are attached to anything separate from the service of God, that attachment becomes the source of bondage and guarantees us to have to take birth again in this world. What is the real meaning of detachment? It doesn't mean to wander around naked in the jungles. Detachment means to understand the reality that nothing is mine. Everything is the property of God. Everything should be used according to His desire. In 1966, Srila Bhaktipad approached his Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, His Divine Grace. He was a new devotee at the time, and he was very enthusiastic. He just came to Prabhupada and really thought, "I'm going to really make Srila Prabhupada happy today." He said, "Prabhupada, Swamiji, I want to renounce everything." And Srila Prabhupada looked at him very seriously. He said, "What do you have to renounce? Everything is already the property of God. What your illusion is that you think you have anything to renounce. It's like if I go to Mahaprabhu's house
This is Mahaprabhu Das. And I say, Mahaprabhu, I'm renouncing your wife. And I'm renouncing your house. And I'm renouncing all of your wealth. Huh? He would look at what nonsense. It's all mine. It's not yours to renounce. Huh? Or it's like tonight we say, I am going to renounce this building. This building belongs to someone else. It's crazy. It's an illusion. You have to have something before you can renounce it. Prabhupada said, everything is the property of God. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim richchati. Krishna says that I am the proprietor of everything that exists. Sarvaloka maheshwaram. Loka means planets. I'm the proprietor of every planet and everything in every planet. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. The basic principle of all bondage is to think, I am this body and I am the possessor of anything. We are not this body, we are the eternal soul that's giving life and animates this body. And everything is the property of God. Even our own body. It is not ours. It is Krishna's property. He's giving it to us on lease for some time. When your lease is up, you're going to be kicked out of this body. Srila Prabhupada told Kirtanananda Maharaj that the only thing that you have to renounce is the misconception that you have something to renounce. Everything is the property of God. Real vairagya, real renunciation, is simply to accept this truth and use everything in the purpose of God's service. Whether we are brahmacharis or sannyasis, what is a brahmachari or sannyasi? Their renunciation means simply that whatever Guru and Krishna wants, they do it. They know that human society, every living being, is part of God. And to try to uplift all living beings is their service. It is their renunciation. If one is an engineer, a businessman, a doctor, a lawyer, a farmer, a scientist, a teacher, a student. You are students? What do you study for? What is your goal of life? To be a doctor and serve the people. You want to be doctor? How do you go? What is your age? 12. What do you want to be? A teacher? Why you want to be teacher? To serve Krishna? Yes? How do you go? You want to serve the people because it pleases Krishna, right? Rivo. That is what a student is meant to do. To study for the purpose of helping humanity and serving God. Then everything they study is yoga. Their being in school and studying books is yoga because their ultimate purpose is to help humanity and serve God. Huh? You are both great yogis. Did you know that? It's true. If a mother is raising her children thinking this child is a gift of God, it's not my child. I have no right to raise this child the way I want because it's not mine. It's the property of God. He's put it in my care. He's put this baby in my care. And now, according to God's desire, God's will, I must raise this child so it never has to take birth again in this world. My first consideration in feeding it should be to feed it nice prasad. My first consideration in raising it is educating him or her, giving him a lifestyle, an occupation, in such a way that that child will be most productive for all of society in the service of God. It's like we have here, Girish. Stand up, Girish. Arivo. This is Mahaprabhu Das's beloved son. Do you like to study? What did you say? He said yes. Why do you like to study? Say it in the microphone.
I can serve Krishna better in the future. I study what is taught in the school.
Serving Krishna, would you like to study?
No.
This is because Mahaprabhu has trained him in this way. He's studying very hard. Every night he wants to come to these programs, but most nights he cannot come because he has to study. Tonight he came. He's a serious student. Why? Because he has this motive that with my education I will serve God. I will do good things for humanity. Arti? You like to study? Yes? Miss Arti, do you like to study? She doesn't like to study. But for Krishna she's willing to do it anyway. Correct? Arivo. And we have Dr. Dwarkadish, please stand up. He's a doctor. He became a devotee just after graduating medical school. And his Gurudev told him that you get specialty degree. Because by this degree you can do such wonderful service to Lord Krishna. And he and about five other colleagues of his, they wanted to become brahmacharis like Tattva. Stand up. Arivo.
Arivo.
Stay up, stay up. He wanted to become like him. He was begging for it. Parents don't even know these things. Today they're here, they're knowing these things. He wanted to become like this. But he doesn't want to become like this. That's But they are both perfectly situated. Gurudev told Tattva, very nice. You be a brahmachari, you go, you enlighten society, you preach, you help the poor, you help elevate people. He's working hard every day and every night like a menial servant for the benefit of others, expecting nothing for himself. And Dr. Dwarkadush is doing exactly the same thing. He's even married. Stand up. This is his celestial wife. Her name is Vishakha. They got married in the service of God. He wants to be a doctor for the welfare of others. With no expectation but service. Arivo. So what is the difference between these two? They may look different, but their heart is the same. If you would like, you can sit down. If you want, you could continue standing. So this is spiritual life. This is what we call vairagya or renunciation, in its true sense. Not to just give up what we're doing or what we can do, but to utilize everything in the service of God. With an uncontaminated desire to please Krishna, to help humanity, to serve our Gurudev. This is called the aspiration of unadulterated and pure devotional service. And we find so many wonderful people, even here tonight. If I had them all stand up, it would take a long time. But whether one is a student, or whether one is an aspiring doctor, what is your name? Your name? Hariwa. They are my dear friends. Stand up. Now this child, he was going to school, and it was just the time for his exams. And he didn't want to take his exams. What child likes to take their exams? So you know what happened? Because he's a devotee, he got chicken pox. Krishna fulfilled his desires, and he didn't even have to take his exams, right? Are you happy? You are? You have more devotion to Krishna because of this? He says yes. Hariwo. But he will continue his studies. And his father, Rishabhdev, he's raising him in such a wonderful way in their home to be a good student, to be a good son, to be a good citizen with the highest standards of morality and compassion and charitable nature toward others. But it is all centered around love and devotion to God. So what Lord Kapila Muni is explaining here should be the aspiration of all of us. Real renunciation. Rupa Goswami explains that the perfection of renunciation is simply to accept the truth that I am the eternal servant of the Lord and that everything is meant for the service of the Lord. And when we live according to this truth, Krishna explains, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evai shashi satyam te prati janipriyosha. Undoubtedly, we attain the perfection of transcendental bliss and never have to take birth in this material world again, but attain the eternal destination of the spiritual world. It is explained here that those who are true devotees, they aspire to always remember Krishna in whatever they do. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, by associating with the Lord's devotees, by regularly reading the scriptures with the commentaries of the great acharyas, by taking prasad, by living pure and moral lives, by being charitable with whatever we have, in this way, we can all attain together the supreme destination of life. And we're so, so happy that such opportunities come as tonight. I believe Abhay Charanaravinda, Mr. Aravind Patel, he arranged this beautiful, beautiful facility for all of us to come together, to hear the goal of life, to sing the names of God together. It is really the greatest welfare work, the greatest charity to uplift people's consciousness closer to God. to bring people beyond the process of birth and death, all suffering. It is charity to feed a poor man, and that is good charity. We should do it. But if you give that person prasad, you're not only solving the problem of his belly, because whatever you feed him, he'll be hungry tomorrow. But you're filling his heart with God's love so that he never has to hunger again. The real starvation of this world is the starvation of the heart. The rich and the poor are all starving in this way. Huh? People are lonely. People are frustrated. People have no real purpose in their life. To give that knowledge, to give that enlightenment of devotion to God is the greatest charity. It is the greatest welfare. We have asked our doctors, don't just be a doctor for the body. Heal their body, not to cheat them, but to serve them. Heal their mind by being kind and courteous and respecting them. And heal their soul by giving them the name of God. The name of God is the medicine that could cure all the illusions and ignorances and diseases of material attachments in our heart. The name of God is the pure vibration that brings our consciousness back to its natural pure state of eternal love and devotion. So we beg you all to kindly come and attend these programs regularly. Hear the philosophy of Krishna Katha together. Take the sanctifying foodstuff and prasad together. And most of all, join with us as we chant the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
And whoever you know, show your love to them by introducing them to this wonderful satsang, to this wonderful practice of Sanatana Dharma. And be a true friend and a true well-wisher for all living beings.